Greetings, friends, and today's episode of the Ed Boston Podcast is one that I'm so excited about. It is about the movie Beautifully Broken. We're going to start with the song Beautifully Broken, done by Plum, who happens to be a friend of the Ed Boston Podcast. Then there is a trailer, one of the two trailers that are out right now, about the movie. And we're going to follow that up with a couple of interviews. The first part is Randy Hartley. Randy's the person the story is written about. The story, Beautifully Broken, is written about him and his family and two other families that are interwoven and, well, you'll hear during the interviews. The second interview is with Eric Welch. Eric is the director of the movie. I thoroughly enjoyed the time I spent with Eric. What an awesome guy he is and an awesome guy to get to know. Sometimes you just get the feeling that a project is going to turn out well, and that's how I feel about Beautifully Broken. I believe that you're going to enjoy this podcast. Amy and I have had the chance to watch the screener of the movie. It is fantastic. Whatever you hear, the two gentlemen today that are going to talk with us, they're probably being humble. The expectations are, well, you just got to watch the movie. And if you're going to do that, you got to go out that first weekend, next weekend, starting August the 24th. It'll be in over 600 theaters nationwide. We need to get behind these kinds of movies and support these kind of movies. Just set back. The podcast today is a little longer than we've been going the last little bit, but it's worth the time. God bless you. Enjoy the podcast today. Enjoy this opening song by a friend of the podcast, Plum. And when you're done, go out and do the right thing. God bless.
Every tear, every doubt, every time you've fallen down, when you're hurting, feeling shame, when you're numbing all your pain, when you've lost your way and feel so
you. No man knows how or when his test will come.
You're greedy.
You have to get your family out.
I'm gonna get out of the car!
My story would not be complete without two other families who each faced their own struggles.
Say hi to Randy Hartley.
It's nice to meet you, William.
Pleasure to meet you as well, Mr. Hartley.
Daddy has to work.
Again?
War is breaking out, and you're hiding behind your woman and your little hut.
You know I have no choice but to join.
For a fact, that isn't ours.
Your husband belongs to us.
Everything okay up there?
I'm just doing my best to provide for them.
The best thing you can provide is you, Randy.
Why did you want to be with Militia and not with us?
That was the only way you could protect us.
Get out of here!
Stop! Get out of here!
This might be your best way out of here.
I could never leave my family.
Father!
Andrea, open the door right now!
These words cannot contain the love that I have for you.
Shall I see you again?
It is time to face the truth.
I won't let him take your life.
Next!
I work non-stop just to provide all this.
We are losing her!
Still.
Take me home!
What is your problem?
Why is my family falling apart?
He must know what happened.
Everyone is broken in some way, Andrea.
Who knows how God will use your pain? You're beautifully
broken. This was not your fault. It is not who you are.
This came for you.
I think it's time for me to make good on that promise I made to you.
Holding on to the past will only destroy what lays before us.
Now tell us the truth about what happened.
Randy, I love you.
True friends are always there for each other.
Yeah, very sneaky. We love surprises.
Your life is not where you've come from, but what you do with the days before you.
Hi, folks, and we've got a special interview for you today here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. We've got Randy Hartley here with us, and he is going to talk to us about a new film that will be released on August the 24th, Beautifully Broken. Welcome to the show, Randy.
Well, thank you, Ed. Appreciate you having me.
Well, let's get right into it. Tell us about Beautifully Broken and where the story came from.
Sure. Well, the first thing I'll tell you is it's a very true story. And not only was I the executive producer who produced it and helped write it, but I lived the story. It's a story about three families, my family in the Nashville area, a family who had, the man William Wazerwa had been an executive with the Rwandan Coffee Company. He was targeted during the genocide and miraculously escaped really several times, and as a refugee settled in the Nashville area and became friends of mine. And then coincidentally, we had been sponsoring a little girl through Compassion International who was from Rwanda named Amahosa. And it's really about the way the three families, the sponsored child, William, my friend, the refugee, and my family, the way our lives became intertwined in a way that you could never have envisioned. I tell people if Hollywood had written the script, you would laugh it off. But Hollywood didn't write this script when God did, and you can believe it because I lived it.
Well, the synopsis for the film says, a refugee's escape, a prisoner's promise, and a daughter's painful secret converge in this true story. Talk a little bit about each of those three, the
sure.
refugee escape and the prisoner's promise and the daughter.
Right, yeah. Well, that is a nice synopsis of it, but I will tell you. So my friend William moved to Middle Tennessee as a refugee. I knew he had escaped the genocide, didn't know all the circumstances behind it. But got to know him and got to support a ministry that he set up here for other refugees. And as I mentioned, we'd been sponsoring a girl from Rwanda. Flash forward several years, and when my middle daughter was in high school, her life had taken a left-hand turn. At first, we thought it was just typical teen years, but it had escalated far more than that. She was truly a troubled teen. And out of desperation one day, I got a letter from Omahosa, the girl we've been sponsoring, and the letter came at just that right time, and I looked at that letter and I said, there's my answer. I'm taking my daughter to Rwanda. Mm-hmm. I tell people God knows why I thought that was an answer, and God knew why I thought that was an answer. I just didn't know it at the time. So I called my friend William and I said, William, I've got to take my daughter to Rwanda. I'm going to go meet this girl that we sponsored to Compassion. Can you help me out? And it just so happened that his family was leading a mission trip back to Rwanda, their first trip back since they'd left 15 years earlier. And so my family traveled with his family back to Rwanda to meet the little girl. what was amazing about it is I'd always been told that the little girl's father was in jail. But when we got out there, we were led by the compassion folks to her home. A man came out and introduced himself as her father. And what he told me was he'd gone to jail in 1994. That was the year of the genocide when his daughter and my daughter were both two. He just got out of jail a month prior. That's 2009, the year of the Great Reconciliation in Rwanda that we can talk some about. But he said when he went to jail, he didn't know how his family would survive, and he prayed to God that somehow he could take care of his family. And the man looked at me and he said, "If God sent me you, so I've got to thank you for being a faithful father to my family when I couldn't be." And here I was, a man wandering the back hills of Rwanda with a daughter whose life I couldn't keep on track, thinking I was anything but a good and faithful father. And across the world, I had a man thanking God that God sent me to him. What made it even more dramatic was he'd gone to jail as being a perpetrator in the genocide, and I was being led to him by a man who had to escape Rwanda because of the genocide. And then he went on to say that he and his wife were fearful that they'd never have children because they weren't able to have children for a while. And in Rwanda, that's frankly, that's being barren is terrible because you're all farmers and trying to survive, and maybe kind of like families used to be in the South. You have large families just to help, you know, provide for each other. And he was afraid they couldn't have it. And he said, but they finally had a child. And in Rwanda, you don't name a child until after they're born. They have a naming ceremony, and you normally name them an attribution or a physical attribute. He said, but we named our daughter Omahoza because in Kinyarwanda that means redeemer or restorer, because she'd restore their faith in God. And I thought to myself, here I am leading my daughter with my friend through the back trails of Rwanda, not to meet a little girl named pretty or tall or beautiful, but to meet a little girl, the Redeemer. And something about that was just divine. The wonderful part that's not in the movie per se, but the after part of it is, it changed my daughter's life. She came back from Rwanda with a purpose-driven life. She stopped cheerleading and started working every day in the refugee ministry that William had started here in Nashville. She went on to college, she got straight A's, studying international studies, led three mission trips to Africa while she was in college. And when she graduated, she moved to Kenya, and where she lives today for 4 years, working in the mission field. So to say that this trip changed our lives would be an understatement. And then what makes it even more miraculous is the fact that I've got a Tutsi who had escaped the genocide leading me back to meet a Hutu family that we had supported. And the connection of those families and what my friend found out had happened to his family and the level of grace and forgiveness that he showed just was incredible to be all tied into this same trip. It was truly a blessed journey, to say the least.
Well, the cast, the music, there's a lot of big names when you go here, and people that are familiar with faith-based movies. I see a lot of God's Not Dead listed here, War Room, yeah. The Shack. I see Toby Mac's name on here, Michael W. Yeah. Smith's name on here. Talk about the cast and the music as well.
Sure. Well, we're fortunate to be in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA, and people think of it as country music, and certainly there is, but there's a huge faith-based music here as well. So the director of my movie, Eric Welch, this is his first feature film, but he has done music videos for a big part of his career and had worked with Michael W. Smith and Toby Mac in the past. And so we actually approached Michael W. Smith to play a role in the film. He plays my pastor, Pastor Henry. Frankly, he does an outstanding job. If you saw the movie and didn't know who Michael W. Smith was, you would go, man, that guy who plays the pastor is a really good actor. And he was, but he also happens to be Michael W. Smith, who's obviously legendary Christian singer. And then in real life, we had gotten connected to Compassion International. Obviously, that's where we support the little girl. In 1996, by going to an A.B. Grant concert. But in the movie, it's depicted by Toby Mac, because my director has done all of Toby Mac's concerts and films going all the way back to D.C. Talk. And so while we were filming in Louisiana, Toby happened to have a concert going on in Shreveport. So we went up and filmed that concert, and it was at that concert in the film that we get the connection to Compassion International. But Toby's been very gracious, as has Michael W. Smith, in supporting our movie and posting about it. And then we've got three songs. The movie producer I used, Chuck Howard. Chuck Howard was a legend in the country music business here. He helped produce 24 number one country music hits and 110 top 10 hits. Well, Chuck's idea was we would do a title song and we release it in multiple formats. So we have a title song, Beautifully Broken. It's been released by Plum, the Christian artist Plum, that she hit top 20 on the Christian charts. CeCe Winans, 12-time Grammy winner in gospel music, she's got it on the gospel charts. And then John Barry, someone where Chuck Howard had produced a number one hit back in the 90s. John Barry came out and produced it on country, and he's charting for the first time in 22 years with our song. So another very unique aspect of the movie is to have not only a title song, but a title song that's charting in three different formats. So we're pretty tickled with that.
We call people who have been on our program friends of the podcast, and Plum is a friend of the podcast. We've talked to her before.
Sure.
We're talking to you today. We've got Eric Welch scheduled here in a couple of days. So we're going to have several friends of the podcast here. Part of it. It's a privilege and an honor.
Well, thank you. You know, one thing I tell people, and the reason I even got involved in this movie to begin with, is I've been blessed in many ways, and I've done what I do for 35 years and fine, and I didn't need to make a movie, but I needed to make this movie, and I'd say for two reasons. I mean, my family had been broken, and my daughter had been broken, and all the families in this movie had been broken. And if that was the end of the story, no one would want to see the movie. But the beauty of it is they were all made whole again, and they're all made whole again through forgiveness and reconciliation and the grace of God. And it is my hope that anybody who goes and sees the movie, number one, will be inspired, and I think they will be. But in particular, if there's a broken daughter or a broken family that happens to wander in this theater and sees the movie, it is absolutely my prayer that they'll follow that same path to be made whole again, maybe just a little bit quicker than they would have been otherwise.
The three fathers who are fighting to save their families here in the movie, share with us a little bit about fatherhood and taking care of your families. And in a society where a lot of absent fathers are there, share with us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, I really think that's one of the strongest themes we have, and it's not done to count the mothers. Let me just tell you that the wives in real life and in the movie are the bedrocks to the families. But you take my friend William Mazera, for example, who had to escape the genocide and go to Kenya. He was offered asylum to come to the United States because he was targeted in the genocide. But that offer extended to him and not his family. So he had to take the leap of faith through prayer and fasting. He decided he'd come to the States and leave his family behind. And he was here for 3 years before his family could join him. But he made that choice. You know, he didn't choose to have a genocide happen. He didn't have anything to do with it, but it was thrust upon him. He took that leap of faith to save his family and came to the States, and it paid off. Omahosa's dad, you'll see in the movie, I don't want to give too much away, but you know, he had to go to jail, and in reality, in Rwanda, people were having to make tough choices every day. You know, the old saying, if you're not with them, you're against them. And in the militia, for oftentimes, people were singled out, and it's like, okay, here's a machete. You join us, or we'll use it. And he had to make a tough choice. And, you know, my daughter's life, again, not to give too much away, but she was a broken child, a troubled teen in high school. It was our choice to say, look, let me try something out of desperation, take you to Africa and make it go. So, you know, as dads, I would say that we all view it as our duty to provide for and protect our family. Sometimes that provide for can get lost in 60 to 80 hour work weeks. And sometimes the protect is something we can't always do. It's not always in our hands. But as dads, you do what you can, and I think ultimately this movie kind of honors the work of the dads, both Jose's father and William, my friend, and hopefully what I did with my daughter. But in every situation, we had wives behind us that were, as I say, really the bedrock to the families. In fact, for two of the families, the dads went away and left the family with the mother for the mother to be in charge. So it's a great story. There's a lot of tough spots in it. But I can assure you, you will leave the theater smiling ear to ear, given the way that God's grace gets us all over the hump and leads us, you know, through the valley. And that's what we were trying to portray.
You've touched on genocide a couple of times. Explain a little more in detail what they went through there in Rwanda.
Yeah, you know, it is unbelievable. Having been there five times now, you would never believe it, because it's a nation that's 85% Christian. It's the most homogeneous nation in Africa in that they speak one language. They're technically all one tribe. They're 85% Christian, and yet 10% of the population was wiped out in 100 days. When the Belgians showed up in the late 1800s, they theorized that there must be two different tribes to Rwanda, because some people seem to be a little shorter and a little darker skinned, and some seem to be a little taller and a little lighter skinned, and they named them Tutsi and Hutu. Well, in reality, it was the Hutu that were farmers, and when you farm and you're in the fields, you're in the sun, the sun darkens skin, and they didn't have protein. Where the Tutsis were just cattle farmers, and about 15% of the people owned cattle, and if you own cattle, you stand in the shade, and you have protein, and they've grown through the years, decades, and centuries to be a little bit taller. Flash forward 100 years, everybody had an H or a T on their ID card, and the only people with wealth in Rwanda happened to be the Tutsis, the ones who had cattle. Now, not all of them, 85% of Tutsis were just as poor as Hutu, but the few who had money happened to be Tutsi. And Rwanda was the poorest nation on earth. It was the poorest nation that there was. And so through the years, through vilification and demonization, the Hutu majority had been saying, if it wasn't for those daggum Tutsis, we'd have that money, not them. And it kept going and going and going, and it's a long story, but bottom line, it exploded in 1994 after the Hutu president had tried to sign a peace accord to put all this trouble to bed. His plane was shot down as he flew back in from Arusha to Rwanda. And the night his plane was shot down, roadblocks went up, and in 100 days, 800,000 to a million people were killed. And it was family on family, friend on friend, people in the same church pews killing each other, all because somebody had an H or a T on their ID card. And I will tell you, trying to identify who's a Tutsi and who's a Hutu would be like walking down the street and say, who's a Baptist and who's a Methodist? There's no distinction. It's unbelievable, frankly, that it could even happen. But it does have a lesson to be learned for when we demonize and vilify and dehumanize people of any type or class. You think it's just words, and those words can have consequences.
Share with us the website, social media, how we can find out about the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to do it. If you're interested in it, you can go to our website. It's www.beautifullybrokenmovie.com. On the website, you'll see the trailer, you'll see a lot of the backstory, you'll see videos, you'll also see where you can log in and find a theater. We're going to be in over 600 theaters nationwide starting August 24th. Also has the music on there, so if you want to see the music videos from Plum or John Barry or CeCe Winans. And then we're also on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and just look up Beautifully Broken Movie, you'll find our Facebook page where we have the postings and daily inspirations, and where we have Toby Mack, and we've got Michael W. Smith and all the others endorsing the movie. So they've been very, very gracious in their outreach there. So anyway, hopefully people will find it interesting and go. And I can virtually guarantee you that you will leave inspired and you will leave smiling.
As I mentioned before we got started, I always end with the word of prayer. Can I pray with you now, Randy?
Yeah, please do.
Father, we thank you for our new friend, guest on the podcast here. We thank you for Randy's life, the story that he's sharing with us about his life. We thank you for his family and the daughter who her story has a big role. And we just ask blessings upon each of them. We thank you for the cast and the people that work behind the scenes and everybody that took a part in this, the effort that they put forward, the inspiration that this movie is going to be to so many people around the country and around the world. Father, we just ask that you would bless those who need to see this film, those who need to know about forgiveness and reconciliation. And Father, help it just to inspire people for those things that they need in their life. Thank you for each and every aspect of what we've talked about today. Bless those in Rwanda. We know that their lives are still affected by what happened, and we just pray for them as well. For those who are supported through Compassion International around the world. We just thank you for them and ask a blessing upon them as well. Father, again, we thank you for Randy, and we are pleased that he is now a friend of our podcast. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ed. I really appreciate it.
All right. It's been great to have you.
Lives become intertwined in an incredible journey of forgiveness and redemption.
God has shown me that our legacy is built from the pain and struggles we endure.
You must learn to forgive yourself. Who knows how God will use your pain to touch others?
Holding on to the past will only destroy what lays before us.
Three families, two different worlds, one incredible true story.
Forgiveness is the only way I know how to let go.
If you believe God orders our steps, who are we to say no when he opens a door?
I love you.
God sees much beauty in the broken, and I believe helping others always leads to healing.
Beautifully Broken, in theaters August 24th. BeautifullyBrokenMovie.com.
Hi, friends, and this is the second part of two interviews talking about the movie Beautifully Broken. We are pleased to have with us today Eric Welch, the director. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you very much. It's good to be on. I appreciate the opportunity.
This is your first feature-length film to direct. Is that correct?
That is correct, absolutely.
You've been around the block a time or two and have been around some pretty decent-sized names in the business. Tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk about them.
Sounds great. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about both. My background has primarily been in the world of music video. I started off working through a project called Narrow is the Road for DC Talk back in the day, and I worked as an editor on that, and that kind of morphed into working on the project, became Free at Last, the movie by DC Talk, which transitioned into Welcome to the Freak Show, following DC Talk on tour as they were promoting or, you know, out performing, I should say, the Jesus Freak album. And so that's, I started in advertising, but through several different set of circumstances, ended up working with DC Talk. And that really kind of was the springboard of working primarily in the Christian market and in the country market, mainstream, of doing music videos. And so that's what I've done for the last several years. That's been my core business. And that's actually what transitioned me into the film. I've been doing country music videos off and on. I'd worked with Carrie Underwood, Kid Rock, Tim McGraw on projects, done live concerts, music videos with Toby Mac, Mercy Me, Mandisa, you know, several artists in multiple genres. And I came across a gentleman named Chuck Howard. And Chuck had produced several records for country artists and Christian artists. One of the larger ones would have been Leanne Rimes. And Chuck was transitioning from working as a music producer to working in the film world, and he's done a few feature films. And I had done some music videos for him when he was still focusing on music. And I kept running into Chuck several times, and he's like, one of these days, he kept threatening, one of these days you're going to do one of my movies. The first one came along was I'm Not Ashamed, and I had read the script, but I was just too busy to take on the film. And so the next film that came along was a film called Beautifully Broken. And I read through the script, and he was real excited about it, and he wanted me to, you know, direct this film. And so when I read the script, I saw that there's the amazing story of three families in different worlds coming together through parallel journeys and eventually coming together. And the part of it that intrigued me was the connection across the globe into Africa. And I had been on missions trips. One trip had been to Nigeria, where I spent 2 months in Nigeria. And the other was about 2 weeks in South Africa. And so that connection to the script is really what drew me in. Because I'm like, wow, I mean, I've been to Africa, I've experienced that, I remember all of that, and I think I could bring something special to this movie. So that's a long answer to a short question. Sorry about that, Ed.
Hey, that's all right. They tune into interviews to hear you guys, not me. So that works perfect. Talk a little bit about the cast of Beautifully Broken.
Well, we have a wonderful cast. I mean, leading out the cast, playing the character of William. Really, William is the sage of our film. He really is the Yoda. I mean, he is just full of wisdom. And every, you know, we come through these different scenes and different characters that encounter William as he goes through his journey. And he conveys this wisdom on people. You know, it's not about your past, but it's about the steps that lie in front of you. Those, he has a lot of these one-liners that just, you know, kind of catch you when you think about it. And so that is played by Benjamin Onyango. And Benjamin, wonderful guy. You probably know him from God's Not Dead. He played the African character in that franchise. And then he was also in Tears of the Sun. Just a great guy, wonderful guy, and brought a lot of weight and depth to that character. And he really embraced it. And he made it his own. And so just through the process of working on that film, was a great experience. Also in the film, is Scott William Winters, and he is another very seasoned, very strong actor. He plays Randy Hartley in the film, who's the father in America. And, you know, you may know Scott from, he was in Good Will Hunting, as well as several television shows. He's just a great presence and brought a lot of, you know, senior acting credibility and chops to the film. And those two are the main characters in the film. We also have Andrea, the young daughter of Scott, or Randy, I should say, that's played by Emily Hahn, who's from Toy Story. We have various other actors in, Eric Roberts, who you may know from the Dark Knight Batman series. So there's a lot of, you know, different characters. We also, like we had talked about prior to the interview, that there's a cast from Africa. We have several other people, like Eugene was in District 9, and also Chappie. So having shot some of the film in South Africa, we have such a diverse variety of characters. Matisse, the bad guy in the film, is played by Leroy Gopal, and he is an amazing character. I can't say this as a director, but he is one of my favorites in the movie because he just brings such an intensity to his character, and he has such strong looks with his eyes, and he just really brought a lot to the film. So also in the film, Michael W. Smith. People may know Michael W. Smith out there. He had a small singing career, but he's really done some acting. And Michael appears in the film, as well as Toby Mac. Toby Mac does a cameo, and we captured some of his performance in concert, which actually plays a pivotal piece of the film. So it's got a pretty broad range of characters. And Ed, if I'm forgetting somebody you want to talk about, let me know, because there's so many we could go through talking about.
No, you were right on with it, and I was actually going to bring up the fact that we expect to hear the names Michael W. Smith and Toby Mac when we're talking about the music part, but as Randy shared with us, Michael W. Smith really did a great job with his part in the acting line of this film.
Yes, he did. Michael W. Smith plays Pastor Henry. For lack of a better name, it was in the script as Pastor Henry, so we just kept it. But he plays Pastor Henry. That's his full name. I don't think he has a last name. But Michael did such a great job. You know, Michael is an amazing person. He, you know, anyone who knows him, he's just a warm, genuine, good person. And when he came to the set, he just brought so much life and energy. He really was a lot of fun. I mean, there was one day, Caitlin Nicole Thomas, who plays Darla in the film, she is a musician as well. And she has, you know, she's an amazing fiddle player. She had her fiddle one day, and she was out on set just playing her fiddle. And I don't know what got into Michael, but he just grabbed me by the arm and started do-si-do-ing me. So he and I danced with Caitlin playing the fiddle. I mean, it was just a crazy little moment. I didn't expect it at all. He just had a blast, and he made the set so fun. It was truly a treat to have him there every time he came on set. He actually was only supposed to be in a couple of scenes, but I think he had so much fun in the first initial scenes that he was able to stay. He's like, look, I want to push my schedule as much as I can and be in these other scenes. So there's a few scenes where there's a party scene towards the end, and having him in those scenes just really brought a lot of, you know, joy and fun to the set and to the scene. So it was great to have him. He's such a wonderful person.
Well, we've talked names, and we've talked musical people who are actually actors in this, but you've also got some pretty decent names in the music part of the film. Share that part with us.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think one of the things that's truly unique and visionary about this film is a campaign that Chuck set out on early on. Randy Hartley, who you've already spoken with, Randy had a young lady create a song called Beautifully Broken. And it's just an amazing, beautiful song. And her name is Jenny Slate. And Jenny had written a song and shared it with Randy. And it kind of became our theme song. And along the journey, Chuck had this idea, like, what if we take this song and we have various artists record it? So he reached out to John Barry, who's a strong country artist, deep faith, rich, beautiful person. And John recorded a version that's slightly country. It's influenced with country sounds and those instruments. And then we also had Plum, who is more pop, you know, Christian pop. And she recorded the song, and it has more of a, you know, it just totally has her thumbprint on it. It has that longing, yearning feeling of a song that was be called Beautifully Broken. And then you have CeCe Winans covering it in the gospel side. And so her take on it is completely different than the other two. And it's kind of funny because she just brings the gospel through mm-hmm. this song. And what's amazing about it is by the end of it, it's just like a celebration. There's a choir in it, and it just gets so, they have a breakdown in the middle of it, and it's got this funky beats, and it's just so, I know it sounds weird me saying funky beats, but anyway, it's just so good. And each of them is different. Each of them has gone to prospective radio stations in their markets and genres, and it's just done really well for the film. You know, we actually created music videos and lyric videos for each one that can be found on our website, so people can kind of see some of the film with the artist and really enjoy them.
We call people who have been a part of the podcast in the past friends of the podcast, and Plum is a friend of the podcast. We had her on a couple, 3 years ago, and I told Randy when I talked to him, I said, well, by the time I'm done getting ready to promote, you know, the actual podcast we'll put together, promoting the movie itself with on our social media things, going to be three of you folks that are friends of the podcast, and so
that's wonderful.
That's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Tell us again, I know Randy shared, but I wanted you to share as well, the website, social media, where we can find how to get to see Beautifully Broken.
Well, our core website is beautifullybrokenmovie.com. You can go there, and through beautifullybrokenmovie.com, you can find all kinds of resources and links. We obviously have a Facebook page that we link to through that, as well as a YouTube channel and Twitter and Instagram, but also you can find resources. Like, for instance, if you know, want to download the trailer to show at your church, or if you want to download a poster or send out an email blast to your friends, there's all of these different resources on the resources tab. And it's just an amazing way for you to download memes. You can do any of those things. Even a study guide is available that you can push out through your social media. You know, obviously you can go to our Facebook page. It's connected on the website, beautifullybrokenmovie.com. And you can connect to our Facebook and retweet and repost some of the things through Twitter, Instagram. But I think there's also materials on the website that would help people get the word out themselves. And sometimes it's more personal when you do that. You know, obviously mm-hmm. we want people sharing the trailer. We have two very strong trailers out right now. One of them is more aggressive, showing some of the stories from Rwanda, while the other is a little bit more emotional, capturing the heart of the three families. So we have so many resources, Ed, that we're trying to put in people's hands. There's testimonies from Michael David Smith. There's testimonies from Toby Mac, CeCe Winans, and all of those things. And we're just trying to put those under the banner of hashtag Be Broken. That's a hashtag with the letter B and then the word broken for Beautifully Broken, obviously. But people are embracing hashtag Be Broken Movie, too. There's several out there that people are just getting behind the film, and that's important. That means a lot to us. It's great to see people's response.
You know, I've promoted dozens of films through our podcast and in our websites and things. Having done so many, I kind of get the feel of something beforehand that's going to be something special. And I had that feel before I Can Only Imagine was out. And I'm feeling the same kind of excitement leading up to Beautifully Broken, so hoping that and praying that the success will be there, not just for the film and not just for the genre of Christian and faith-based movies, but for the kingdom of God, that this movies like this reach people with a story of compassion and forgiveness and redemption just want to thank you for making a movie like this.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, you've said so many things I'd love to follow up on and talk about in just that one statement. I think the appreciation really goes to Randy Hartley. I mean, it really is Randy's story, and Randy has given so much to make this story come to life. And also William, you know, these are two men who overcame obstacles that many of us face, but then obstacles even larger than some of us face. I mean, William coming from Rwanda, escaping the things that he did and some of the trauma that happened there is a pretty powerful story. Mm-hmm. And seeing him walk through that is really, it really is an amazing thing that he was able to do the things that he's done. And Randy's faced hardships that I think most fathers in America would face. And their vulnerability and putting themselves on screen, it's, you know, as you get to know people, you know, I've got to know Randy really, really well. And it's not just some big ego stroke. The man really has a heart for helping people. And I think what we've seen in these screenings, I had a pastor come up to me in a screening, he and his wife both, and they were, after 30 minutes of Q&A, right? We've been talking about this movie, answering questions for 30 minutes or more. And this pastor came down to me and was just in tears. And his wife's eyes were all red, and they're like, I just want to thank you for making this movie, because that's my story. Mm. What you showed on that screen is my story. And it just brought so much healing to my heart. And he even went and searched me on the internet, found my email address, and emailed me a full letter the next day. And I'll be honest with you, Ed, like, that is why you do it. Mm. You know, as a man of faith, as a guy growing up in the arts and working through the arts, you know, I've won awards, Dove Awards, you know, Billboard Awards, whatever. Those awards are in the closet somewhere, and the box is still. Because what really moves me is when you go online and you see the comments on YouTube. You see people saying, hey, this video really affected me, or this reminded me of my father who passed away. Or you see someone say, you know what, because of the story in this music video, I want to reach out to my brother who I haven't talked to in 5 years. Mm. That's what it's really all about.
Yes, it is.
You know, the business and all the money making and all those things that Hollywood focuses on, and obviously we want to make money so we can continue to do this, but really it's my prayer of the last week or two that the movie's been coming closer and closer to being released is like, God, I just pray it finds its audience. I want to do everything I can to leave everything on the field so that when the film is out and people are seeing it, that they feel like there's something that they can connect with. And we've done everything we can to connect with those people and hopefully create a story that they can find themselves in and find a character that they relate to, no matter who they are or what walk of life they've been from.
As we continue on, Eric, you've done music videos in the past, and we said that this was your first movie. Tell us about the transition between the two and the differences between the two.
That's a great question. The main difference, there's several differences that you go throughout. I mean, obviously, being on set and working with talent is something you do in both. I think the main key contributing difference is you have a larger crew. That's one thing, but not even that. Really, the biggest thing is just having to think about, in music videos, you're crafting a message for 3 minutes. So usually the lyrics carry the story or carry the emotion, and you just have to build on top of that emotion with strong visual images. You know, most of the actors, their facial expression, their body language is what you're trying to capture in slow motion and just grab a moment. Whereas when you're doing a film, you're having to create and craft a series of moments. It's really a giant puzzle. You know, you start off, if you look at a movie scene by scene by scene by scene, you have to go into each scene and say, okay, now we're dealing with dialogue. Now we're dealing with a tone and a character who has a story going forward and a story from the past. And you have to weave that emotion and tone of the scene and what this character is about through every little scene. But then you also have to look at the bigger picture. You have to look at, okay, how does that scene fit within the larger arc of the story and the larger narrative? And then that's just the shooting part, you know, working with the actors, coming up with the dialogue, what's the scene about? Okay, what would they do? What is their body expression? You know, how do they stand? Where do they lean? Do they turn away? What do they do? All those things play into the dialogue. It's just not what they say, it's what's said in between the lines through their body language. Mm. And then when you go into editing, you're looking at those different performances, those different takes, and how do they play into the mood and tone of the singing. But then, it slows down here. We need to pick up this scene. We need to make this scene faster. We need to cut this scene out altogether. That was a challenge in this movie, because this movie has three storylines at the same time advancing on different fronts. I think the first cut of the movie was about 2.5 hours long. And so I was like, okay, we cut scenes when we're shooting. Now we're going to have to cut scenes when we're actually pulling the film together. So that's the biggest thing, is finding ways to craft a story that makes sense over time and really work with actors and the lighting and the camera to set the tone of what's being actually said through the dialogue.
Well, to go along with a follow-up on that, what's coming up next for you and your work?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And if you get an answer to prayer about that, let me know. I would say, God only knows and he ain't saying.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I've asked that question a lot, and I don't know that I've ever got that exact, I know I've never got that exact response.
The best laid plans of mice and men, right? So, I trust God. I was working in a ministry in Oklahoma City, working on very primitive gear when I got the call to go work with DC Talk. I went from a small editing closet in the middle of Oklahoma City to working with DC Talk, one of the top Christian bands at the moment, and an icon in our industry. So I never make a 5-year plan. I really trust that God is going to put me in the places that he wants me to be, because I've seen it happen so many times. So I trust in that. So whatever comes of this movie, whether it's another project, which would be great, or it may be an extended vacation.
Oh, well, those are needed in ministry work, too.
So I don't know, but I'd ask your audience to pray about that, as well as the success of the picture and that the hearts would be touched. Those are all good prayer points for me, as far as I'm concerned. I could have never... Like, some of the things that I've seen happen in my life, I wouldn't have planned or, schmoozed my way or marketed my way into some of the opportunities that God has brought before me. And so I literally just, my motto is very much, I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to trust God to do what only God can do. And I put my hand on the plow and let him, you have to do some kind of forward motion, but the ultimate steering is up to the Lord and where he pushes the front of your plow. It's like the saying, that word is a lamp unto my path. It's like a lamp only lights so far on the path. You can't see 5 miles down the road with a lamp. You can only see the steps in front. Now I just have to trust in that. And it's not always easy. I'm not trying to say it is. But really, what else can you do? You cannot plan to make God do something. You can only, to the best of your ability, keep your heart right and try to keep your motives pure with other people and treat people well, love God, love your neighbor, and trust that God will do what God can do and puts you where he wants you.
Well, with that in mind, 5 years ago, would you have said that this is what we'd be doing today?
Not exactly. I think the honest truth about it is, like, about 5 years ago, I went through a course where I did a music video for Carrie Underwood called Till I See You Again, which just was an amazing, emotional, moving music video. And it came to me at a time in my life when I really needed some encouragement. And I got that music video and really threw my heart into it and made a poetic tapestry piece that so many people have found relevant in their lives. At the same time, I got a call to do Kid Rock, which was just cool. And then I ended up doing Mandisa Overcomer, which really emotionally pulled me through some tough times and spoke to me. And then I ended up doing like another music video for a group called Love Is War by American Young. And then Colton Dixon, I did the Never Gone video, which is an amazing video of I'm saying my own video is amazing, that's ridiculous, but it's an amazing story. It turned out so well, about a prodigal son. And as I was making those videos, it was like, God, I just felt like, okay, I mean, these are moving people. I mean, I'm reading the comments, I'm hearing what people are coming back with about these projects, but they only have a shelf life of so long. And I'm just like, God, I felt a stirring, I didn't stand on the mountain and get the Ten Commandments or hear God speak audibly, but I just felt like, is there something else, God? Is there something else? Because I've always loved doing music videos. It's always been a passion of mine. I love music. I still love doing them. We just released a new one for Toby Mac called Everything. So I still stay in the mix of those. but I felt like I wanted, maybe it's, I wanted is the wrong word. I felt like there was something else. I felt like I wanted to do something that had the same impact on a larger scale with a more enduring and long-lasting impact. And I pray that that's what this movie is. I, you know, despite my faults as a human and despite my faults as a filmmaker, I feel like God has breathed some life into this film, and Randy's story has so much richness to it with he and William that I pray that it is something that has lasting impact, that it does move people, it does bring healing, it does bring people to talk about things that they've experienced and help others heal. So would I have planned that 5 years ago? No, but I had an inkling, if you will, and I didn't know what shape that would take. I didn't know what it was, but through that course of doing some music videos that really impacted people, like Overcomer, I felt like there was a breath of a dream right there. There was just like a little, God plants that seed, what about this? And it's like, well, you know, okay, God, cool, whatever. You've got to do that. You know, that's you, because I don't know how to take shape. You know, I don't have the connections to do the things that need to be done. I don't know what stories or where you're going to put me. And there's a lot of freedom. You can just say, you know what, God? I mean, look, that's cool. I appreciate the vision. You've got to bring that to pass because I can't force it. I can't make it. Like so many other things in our lives, right, Ed?
That's right.
You have to just go with that flow.
Absolutely. Well, my wife and I are going to get the chance to see the private screening that Lori sent to us here probably before I post the podcast, so we're excited about that, and we love promoting wonderful Christian movies.
Well, thank you so much. I think one of the things that, if there's anything I could say to Christians, is just that, you know, we need to rally behind these type of films. And I'm not saying that just because it's my movie. I'm saying that as a person who's worked in the Christian industry for several years. You're seeing Christian movies getting better and getting stronger, and there's more of a striving to do excellent work, and there's also the need for Christians to get behind this type of art and media so that we can show Hollywood these stories are important to people. Mm-hmm. People care about these stories. You know, unfortunately, the only way that people really feel that in the business world is by that opening weekend or that first batch of numbers that come through. And we need people to get behind the movie. And, you know, there's several more movies coming out that Christians just need to get behind them and push them and go see them and bring their churches and their friends, because every step is getting better. You know, God's Not Dead was such a big, you know, stake in the ground and laying our marker down. And then I Can Only Imagine came and doubled down on that, you know. So I'm not trying to predict that my movie will do that. That's not my point. My point is just the more we support the arts, the more we try to influence our culture with positive, strong messages of faith, the more impact they will have. And we just need the people in the grassroots to get behind those type things. So I appreciate what you're doing, both as a podcast and as a pastor, and thank you for your support on the project.
Not a problem. And you're so right about that first weekend. I've watched what I thought were really, really, really good projects that had a weak opening weekend, and they just kind of fizzle after that.
Sure.
And then you look at I Can Only Imagine and the numbers they did that first weekend, which shocked everybody. And then just continue to grow from there. So you're right about the first weekend, that's for sure.
If there's not a good first weekend, there's not a second weekend.
that's the business side of it. It's sad, but that is the business side of it. Well, Eric, I feel like we could go on for a long time. I've got a lot of things here that we didn't get to, and you had some things there that you would have liked to commented on. But I want to congratulate you. I understand you're nominated for a Dove Award again this year.
That's true. We did a music video for Toby Mac called I Just Need You, and it filmed out in California. Very abstract, very symbolic music video. Had a lot of fun doing it. Shot it all in one day. It's interesting to see the interpretations of it. Some are great, some are kind of wacky, but that's art. You know, it means something different to everyone.
Well, I wasn't aware of what the nomination was for, but with you saying that, that would add another thing on my list of things to talk to you about, because my wife and I love that video, and you know, and have actually said, I wonder what they were thinking when they did this. And so, well, we'll have to save that for another time, because I know we'll...
Okay.
But Eric, this has been great. I've enjoyed myself. Let me pray with you, will you?
Absolutely.
Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our new friend, Eric. We thank you for the film, Beautifully Broken. And Father, we pray for the success on so many different levels. First of all, Father, we pray for the success of souls being won to the kingdom. We pray for the success of people who may already know you as their Lord and Savior, but need to understand the compassion, forgiveness, and the redemption that this story brings to us. We thank you for each person that was involved, from Randy all the way down to people that cleaned up when they were done, Father, and everybody in between. We know that with just a few, things are difficult, but with a mighty cast of so many people, that great things can be done. And we thank you for each person. We thank you for the story itself, Father, and we ask your blessings upon all of the people that are depicted in this movie. And Father, finally, we once again pray for Eric, his family, and all that he does, his career, his success as not just a Hollywood person, but for somebody who is sharing their life and sharing their work for the kingdom of God. And we appreciate him for that, and we thank you that he's now a friend of our podcast. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And extend that prayer to all the friends of the podcast and yourself as well.
All right. Thank you. That's today's interview here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. Want to thank you for being a part of what we do here. Want to encourage you to look us up at edboston.com. While you're there, you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account. It's got all the different places that you can listen to the Ed Boston podcast at. And let me just list a few of those for you here. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Blueberry. We're on all of those with our podcast. One of those is your favorite. We'd encourage you to bookmark us, however it is that individual site has you to save your favorites. We would love to be able to consider ourselves one of your favorites. We want you to go to the Ed Boston Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. We put a lot of things up from the podcast there as well. Sermons are there. We just would love for you to be a part of what we do in all of our different areas of social media. If you've been blessed by today's program, contact us. You can reach us through the edboston.com website there. Go to contact. It'll say, please use the information below to easily contact me, Ed Boston. It asks for your name, your email address, the comment that you would like to put, whether it be feedback on the podcast, learn about Jesus, a media inquiry, or book me for an event. That is the best way to reach me. We would love to hear your feedback on this program or any other concern that you have. We thank you again for being with us. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing.